On the 11th of July, we've been informed that there was an attack on the premises of the Evangelical Church Winning All, in other words, ECWA Church, in the Madala suburb of Suleja, where the earlier attack took place. And this, again, was a bomb attack. And it took place while the congregation were taking part in their weekly prayer service at around 9 p.m. on Monday. That's Monday, the 11th of July. Fortunately, these people who threw the bomb, because that seems to be the practice now, they drive by and throw bombs. The people who threw the bomb didn't aim properly, so the bomb fell short of the actual church building. So nobody was hurt, which was a mercy, but the outer walls of the church were damaged.
This, of course, came on the heels of another attack the previous week on the All Christian Fellowship Mission in Niger State. The attack that you're speaking about right now, has that responsibility for that attack been claimed yet?
As far as I know, it hasn't been claimed, but quite clear that it's an attack by the Islamist group Boko Haram, which has been mounting this kind of attack frequently, particularly in Maiduguri, where it used to have a headquarters, that's in Borno State, where there have been well over 20 deadly attacks just since the beginning of this year by the same group that have followed this pattern. And they had also warned that, this is in a statement they issued in June, that their commanders had just returned from having completed their training in Somalia, or so they claimed, and would be stepping up attacks in the coming weeks and throughout northern Nigeria. And they particularly underlined Plateau, Kaduna, Taraba, and Benue states, and then again emphasized, especially in Kaduna, where a Christian governor has just been elected.
While the Christian places of worship and indeed Christian properties seem to be their favorite target, it's not really their only target. They've also been targeting nightclubs, bars, places where civil society meets. Tell us a little bit more about this Islamic group and whether they have support among their fellow citizens of northern Nigeria.
Well, it's an extremist Islamist group, and basically Boko Haram means Western education forbidden. So they are against all supposedly Western influences, and they see the church as a Western influence. Education also is a problem for them, and they want Sharia law, you know, strict Sharia law implemented throughout the northern states, if not throughout the whole of Nigeria. They first emerged to the public attention. They'd been there for a long time, but they emerged to public attention in 2009 when they mounted attacks simultaneously in four states, four of the northern states. Eventually were beaten back to their headquarters in Maiduguri, where the area was surrounded by Nigerian security forces and eventually overrun. But in that time, they had killed many, and they had targeted churches again and Christians, and they'd actually carried at least 300 Christians hostage to their compound, where some of them were forced to become Muslims, and even when they did, they were beheaded. So it's a pretty brutal organization, even at that time. They then went underground and reemerged in 2010, towards the end of 2010, with a jailbreak of their people in Bauchi State, and then bombings in Jos over Christmas Eve. And since January, Maiduguri, the capital of Borno State, has just known no peace. And there have been attacks of this kind, some on churches, but also on, like you said, drinking bars or restaurants or even coffee houses, which is seen as un-Islamic, and also on Islamic clerics who have spoken up against them and said what they're doing is un-Islamic. They have been assassinated too, as have members of the security forces and the police. They're targeted, obviously. And in addition to that, state officials in Borno have been targeted, to the extent that now you're hearing public apologies by governors, you know, who have been sort of warned in messages that they're next on target. These northern governors are actually groveling an apology to this organization. So it's really quite an awful situation.
Are they getting much support among the civilian population of the northern states? Are the population so frightened almost into submission to them, or are they still very much viewed as a fringe element?
I think in terms of Maiduguri, which has experienced the most of their violence, people are very afraid because you just never know when they're going to strike, and they don't seem to discriminate about who might be caught in the crossfire. So it seems that in Borno State, at least, whatever support they had has dwindled, and it's now a matter of fear that's keeping people quiet. However, elsewhere where you have these disaffected northern youth who are unemployed and who generally go on the rampage when asked to by political or other sponsors and you know, take part in attacks on churches and other Christian targets, as occurred during the electoral violence. There's a question of whether some of these people who haven't experienced just extent of brutalization that Boko Haram can unleash in an area may be swayed to be sympathetic to them.
Now let's look at the authorities. What are they doing, if anything, to try and counter this increasingly radical violence by this group?
From what I'm gathering, there's talk of a carrot and stick approach, at least on the part of the government. But what those carrots and sticks are is unclear. Some have mentioned an amnesty. Others are saying, no, it's too early to talk about amnesty because it will actually encourage this violence and it will almost sanction what they do and would sanction violence from there on in. In terms of Maiduguri, the government has flooded the place with the army to take over security. But that, too, has proved controversial. Because over the weekend, when there was all of this violence and an army patrol was attacked, there are allegations that the army cordoned off the area where the attackers fled and basically punished people randomly for this. So at the moment in Maiduguri, people are fleeing both the army and Boko Haram. And, you know, this is the fighting and stray bullets. So there's that security arm of it. Others are saying, no, what is needed is much better intelligence as opposed to, you know, a strong arm going in there. So there seems to be a debate about which path to take to deal with it. In the meantime, people are crying out and saying, please deal with these people. So it's a bit of a difficult situation because this is something, a group that had been allowed to exist and fester for as long as it was seemingly fulfilling purposes for some people in authority in the north. And it has now gone rogue and gone totally out of control. So it's almost like reaping the whirlwind, really, having sown this thing. But everybody's reaping the whirlwind at the same time.
Dr. Gundre, would you agree with the fact that the international community has ignored the crisis in Somalia for so long? Somalia is now spilling out across its borders and creating problems for neighbouring states in Africa. You said that these were trained in Somalia. We know that the Islamist insurgents in Somalia are particularly brutal.
Yes. If they were trained in Somalia, then there is great cause for worry because, as you said, those Islamists there are cold-blooded and seem to have an interpretation of Sharia that nobody else seems to understand because it is just that brutal. The chances are they may have even been trained in the Maghreb, where Al-Qaeda has a base, because Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb actually, after Boko Haram was put down the first time, complained that it was a bit tired of seeing the Muslim Ummah in Nigeria being treated in this way, and if his Nigerian brothers wanted to come and get training, they could. That offer was put out. Boko Haram went underground and then came back with completely different tactics. So they have received training somehow. It could be Somalia, it could be elsewhere. They claim Somalia, so there's no reason to dispute it. But yes, Somalia is probably one of the most difficult situations to deal with in the African region. You know, between Somalia and Congo, I'd say, you know, those are two areas that really do need addressing because they have a potential of spilling out into surrounding countries.